Bibles. Turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. Appreciate you being here with us. Very, very special Easter Sunday for us. And no doubt we've been praying about this day and anticipating the move of God in our lives. We've had several people to pass, I don't know, 3 weeks to get saved, to get their life to Christ. And you might be here this morning. You don't know Christ as your Savior. I can't think of a better day than today to get saved. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He will save you today if you'll just trust in Him. You place your faith and confidence in Him. You realize it's Him and nothing else. He'll save you today. Look here with me, if you will, Luke chapter 24. And let's read the first 12 verses together. And upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was to pass, come to pass. Pray with me, if you will. Ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, for the opportunity to be in your house. I pray, God, for the next few minutes, you'll help me to preach. Help us to hear what the Holy Ghost is trying to tell us this morning. Lord, we pray for those who's lost and know without Christ, that this might be the day of salvation for them, and they will come to trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to remember. Remember what you've done for us. Remember who you are. Remember what's going to take place. Lord, I thank and I love you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Look here with me in verse 6, and we'll just take one word for our text this morning and our thought this morning. I want you to think upon these lines with me. In verse 6 here, the Bible says, He is not here. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Look at this little word we have, remember. Here, my friend, I appreciate the story we have of Jesus Christ. It's no phony tale. It's no fictitious story. It's an actual account of our Savior Jesus Christ, how he was crucified and buried in a tomb and rose again. The Bible says here, the very first verse of Luke chapter 24, upon the first day of the week, my friend, is Sunday. Hey, we don't come to church on the weekend. Hey, we come to church on week beginning. The very first day on Sunday, we give God the very best day, which is Sunday. We start our week off by coming to church and worshiping God in spirit and truth. The Bible says in verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. That's not so Christ could have got out. Hey, Christ had a glorified body. He got out on his own, my friend. The Bible says that Jesus Christ resurrected himself up out of the grave. The Bible says the Holy Ghost resurrected Christ up out of the grave. The Bible says that God Almighty resurrected Christ up out of the grave. Hey, the Bible says here the stone was rolled away, not so Christ could get out, but so we can look in and see our Savior's not there, my friend. The Bible says he's not here, he's risen. Hey, thank God we've got a Savior this morning. He's not in the grave like Buddha. If you're here this morning and you're trusting in Buddha, I'm going to tell you something. Buddha's still in the grave. Hey, Muhammad's still in the grave. Hey, Mary's still in the grave. Her bones are still there. Muhammad's bones are still there. Buddha's bones are still there. But our Lord and Savior Jesus
Christ. The only thing they found in the grave was his grave clothes and a napkin wrapped by himself, my friend. Hey, that's a sign he's coming back to claim all of us who's born again. Hey, the Bible says the stone was rolled away. I like what it says in verse 3. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed themselves, their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Hey, thank God, my friend, these angels said, why do you seek a living Savior among the dead? Hey, my friend, they was in the cemetery. They was looking inside the tomb, inside the casket, inside the grave. And these two men, these two angels, I believe, stood by and said, hey, our Savior's not dead. Our Savior's not living in a grave. Our Savior's alive. Why do you seek the living among the dead? My friend, that's a good question to ask yourself today. Why do you trust in all the dead stuff to make you alive? Why would a man trust in an alcohol bottle to give him hope, my friend? Why would a person trust in drugs to give him hope? Hey, why would a person trust in the loud music and the bright lights to give him some joy? Hey, Abraham said there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the season soon runs out. Hey, my friend, if you want true joy, if you want true peace, if you want true happiness, if you want true satisfaction, hey, don't seek the living among the dead. You come to Jesus Christ, and he'll save your unworthy soul and make a new creature out of you. Hey, the Bible says this for us. I believe it says here in verse 6, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. I want to try to preach this morning just real quick. Hey, remember, my friend. Hey, this is a day to remember. Hey, we take this side, this day set apart as Easter Sunday. I was trying to figure out how do we come up with Easter Sunday. Is it so many Sundays after the new year begins? Is it so many Sundays in the month of April? How do we come up with Easter Sunday? All I know is it's a day set apart when we come because we know Christ was resurrected, my friend. And the Bible gives us an account that he was resurrected on the first day of the week. They come to look at a sepulcher. They come to look at a tomb upon the first day, upon Sunday, and they could not find the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, remember some things. I want you to remember three things today. Well, we're going to go home in a little bit, and we'll take our shoes off. We'll sit down at a kitchen table. We enjoy a good meal together. Probably go outside and hide some eggs and look for them and just have a wonderful day together today. That's going to be good. But I want you to remember three things today. I want you to remember that he was crucified. I want you to remember he was crucified. And the Bible says here in verse 7, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Hey, this crucifixion of Christ was the awful punishment a man could receive. But Christ has never done one thing wrong. He never did sin. He never could sin, my friend. He never did have one bad thought. He never did tell one lie. He never did one thing wrong. But yet he was crucified between two thieves. If you study the Word of God, as they crucified him, the one hung in the middle was a display of the most wicked, cruel person there was. Whoever was stuck in the middle of the cross, that was a display to the world. That was the worst of the three that was there. They hung our Savior on the cross right in the middle of two thieves. And he's displaying to the world that he was the worst of sinners. Hey, my friend, but he was the Son of God. He was a sinless Son of God. But yet on that cross, he took the world's sins upon him. He took all the world's sins upon him. I want you to know that he was crucified. I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. I want you to listen this morning as carefully as you can. This is a picture of Christ on the cross and how he saw himself in Psalms 22. This is how Christ saw himself on the cross of Calvary. It says in Psalms 22, verse 6, but I am a worm and no man. I reproach a man despised of the people. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips. They shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he should deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that tooketh me out of the womb. Thou didst make my hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls has compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan has beset me around. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and as a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones is out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs has compassed me. The assembly of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. Be thou not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. As Christ was upon his cross, he looked down and said, these men is like bulls, the strong bulls of Bashan. They come to tear me to pieces. He said, they're like raving and roaring lions waiting to sink their teeth into me and tear me to pieces. He said, they're like dogs and a gang, just a pack of dogs waiting to devour me. He said, there's no one to help. There's no one I can run to. He said, all my bones is out of joint. He said, I can stare and see my bones through my skin. I want you to notice, my friend, he was crucified. His physical punishment, his physical suffering, his bones was out of joint. They took a cat of nine tails and lashed him in his back, and they pulled out meat and pulled out flesh and pulled out vessels and pulled out blood until they whipped him to the inches of his life. I thought about that. You know what Christ said? Christ said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down willfully. I believe they beat Christ so much until a regular man would have died under the scourging that Jesus Christ took. But he said, no man takes my life from me. I'm going to lay it down freely of my own volition, of my own self, to give it for God's people, for God's created people so they can be saved. His physical suffering. He said, I look at all my bones, they stare at me. He said, all my bones is out of joint. He said, they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. Put a crown of thorns upon his head, probably 2 or 3 inches of spikes in his head as they beat him upon his head. And they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And my friend, just a physical suffering that Christ went through. But if you read the Bible, as I read it, they took off all of his clothes. And it has a scarlet robe covering His nakedness. They had him exposed for the world to see. And as our Savior was dripping blood, he was casting lots for his clothes. They were smoting him. And the Bible says the spittle, and the people's spit covered his face. You want to see a suffering of Jesus? You look at it as he looked at it from the cross of Calvary. He said, there was none to help. His physical suffering for you and for me. Remember this Easter Sunday that Christ suffered a physical suffering. My friend, he took our sins. He took our punishment. He took our wages of sin. He took our torture. He took our suffering, our punishment, our iniquities upon him. My friend, can you look at his face? The Bible says if we could see his face, we have no desire to look upon him. We'll turn from him. Has a man beaten so bad you couldn't even recognize him as a man. They put a sign on the cross. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. They done that so the world would know it was Jesus. Because he was beaten so bad he couldn't physically recognize him by looking upon his face. They had to have a sign to tell him who he was. But not only his physical suffering, look at his spiritual suffering. The Bible says he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteous of God in him. We can see the physical suffering. We can see the beating and the scourging. And we can see the whipping and the lashing. And we can see the mocking and the crucifying. But can you see, my friend, when your sins was rolled upon Christ, when your iniquities were rolled upon him, when Christ died for you and died as you on the cross of Calvary, we can see his blood dripping from his hands and from his feet. We can see the blood pouring from his brow. We can picture in our minds that Roman with that spear coming and stabbing into our Lord Savior. And the Bible says, out come water and blood. And we know, my friend, it must have penetrated the heart for that water and that blood to come out of his body. We can picture all that with our minds. But can you picture your sins and my sins and your sins and your sins and your sins and your sins and the world's sins laid upon God's Son so he could die for them. That's why the world become black, the blackness of darkness forever. That's why the world become black for 3 hours. That's why the world become dark for 3 hours. Hey, our Savior on the cross at Calvary, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Could you imagine God the Father couldn't look upon God the Son, Jesus Christ, because Christ became sin for us. God the Father had to turn his own back on his own Son because his Son became sin and the world became darkness. The world became black. Do you want to see a picture of hell this morning? I want to show you a picture of hell. As the world became dark, as the world became black, all you heard, my friend, was Christ saying, my God, why has you forsaken me? You heard him, two thieves crying out, mocking, cursing, crying out for help, cursing God. You want to know what a picture of hell is? All you can hear is screaming and crying and cursing. All you can hear is screaming and crying and cursing, but you can see no one there to help you. That's what took place for 3 hours. My friend, Christ became sin. All we see is physical suffering, but can you see his spiritual suffering? He became sin for us. And now the Bible says here in Luke chapter 23, look what it says, if you will, in Luke chapter 23. Not only his physical suffering, his spiritual suffering, but his death. And Luke 23, notice what the Bible says in verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. His physical suffering, we can see how his body looked like a piece of meat that was butchered and beat with a mallet or beating with a hammer or beating with a meat cleaver. We can see how his body was mangled, his body was bruised, his body was broken, his body was bleeding, his bones was out of joint. We can almost see that the world's sin was rolled upon Christ. Our sins was put upon him. My sins, my cursing, my iniquity, my drunkenness, hey, my stupidness, hey, my ignorance, all my sins was rolled upon Christ, and there on the cross of Calvary, he died for you, and he died for me. He died with his sins, with our sins in him. We see, the angel said, remember how he spake with you, that he is going to be crucified by hands of sinful men. Men's hands that shouldn't even touch the body of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't even touch the body of Christ. When they come look for him in the garden, the Bible says they come with lanterns and spears. It was supposing our Savior was going to run and hide for another day. But our Savior, a man of all men, stood him to the face and he said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. So much power. When he says, I am, referring to the I am of Moses, the Bible said they fell to their face. I'm going to give you something here. You watch all them TV preachers. Every time they lay their hands on someone, they always fall back on their backs with their face looking up to the ground. Hey, that's demonic. Everyone that ever fell down in the Bible fell face first, giving God reverence. When he said, I am, they fell first. Hey, when a Philistine giant fell, he fell face first. Hey, my friend, I want you to notice something. He has so much power. He said, I am. And these people fell face first to the ground, but their hearts were so hardened and black with sin that they got back up and arrested our Savior and took him to the cross and nailed him to the cross. But my friend, what he didn't know, that he was going there willfully so he could take our sins and take my sins, so he could die for our sins. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Because there's a payment for sin, Christ said, I make the payment. I pay. I give my life so they can be saved. I make the payment for their sins. Father, I go. I leave heaven. I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live a perfect sinless life. I will never one time sin. And so I can hang on the cross of Calvary and owe no payment for sin. But yet I take their sins upon me so I can die for their sins, so they can be set free from the payment of sin. I want you to remember his crucifixion, how he was crucified. I want you to remember, my friend, how he arose from the grave. In verse 7, the Bible says this for us. And the Bible says, saying the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day rise again. And my friend, this is where our belief, our religion, separates us from everybody else. Because our Savior's alive. Our Savior's alive. Hey, he's not here in this world. He's not in the grave. He's not wrapped up in them grave clothes. Hey, my friend, he's alive forevermore. Hey, they crucified him. Hey, they stuck a spear in him. They put a crown of thorns upon him. God's put our sins upon him. He died on a rugged cross. Hey, Joseph, with tender loving hands, took him down from the cross. Hey, prepared his body for the grave, put him in the tomb. They rolled a stone in front of the tomb so the Jews couldn't get in there and steal the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out to make some kind of rumors. Hey, but our Savior resurrected from the grave. Hey, he rose from the grave. Hey, death could not hold him. Hey, corruption could not set into him. Hey, my friend, our Savior ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. I want you to remember, he was crucified for your sins. For your sins. But he was resurrected so you can have life. He bled and died so that blood could cover our sins. But he was resurrected so we believe and have faith in him. Not only will our sins be forgiven, but the Bible said we can have everlasting life because he ever liveth. We have the life of the eternal one. Hey, the Bible says, for God so loved me and you. Can you imagine that? For God so loved the world. He loved people like me and loved people like you who would take God's name in vain, who would curse God and curse the church. And my friend, just trample on the Bible. Hey, God loves people like us. Hey, God loves with everlasting love. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, thank God, my friend. He was crucified for our sins, but he resurrected for our salvation. Hey, the grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't keep him. Corruption couldn't set him to him. He rose, my friend. He arose from the grave so we can have life. The Bible actually says one point, he arose. He arose. He's arose. You ever smell a rose? It's beautiful. You go out there to a garden and you cut your freshly bloomed rose. It's got a fragrance about it that smells like no other flower. It's got a long stem covered with thorns. It's a beautiful flower, but it's covered with thorns. Our Savior wasn't beautiful on the cross of Calvary because he was covered with thorns. But when he resurrected from the grave, he come forth as the lily of the valley, a bright and morning star. He arose. A rose is something you give to somebody else to demonstrate your love. He arose because he loves us. He wore them thorns because he loves us. If you'll just sit and stop and think for just a few minutes and smell, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. I'm here today because of him. I'm going to heaven because of him. The Bible says he's a rose. If you study a rose, you know what the very first rose was? It was a rose that had white petals. The very first original rose had white petals. I believe that white speaks about purity. And then they done something to engraft something else into the rose, and the next rose they had was a red rose, speaking of his blood. Now they got a purple rose. I believe it could speak about his royalty. He's a rose. Bible says here, remember his crucifixion. Remember his resurrection. He arose from the grave. But I also want you to know this. He arose from this earth. He got up out of the grave and lived 40 days. Six times the Bible mentions six references of Christ speaking and talking to his disciples after he resurrects from the grave. And the last time he was standing there in Acts chapter 1, and the Bible says a cloud come and received him out of their sight. And two men stood by and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven?" Hey, this same Jesus is coming again. I want you to know, not only did Christ ascend up out of the grave, but Christ ascended up from this earth. And now, my friend, he's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for me. you. Hey, he's sitting upon his throne, and every time the devil, the old accuser, come by and say, God, look at your children. Hey, look how evil and wicked and sinful they are. Hey, Christ in heaven, he'll stand up with them nail-pierced hands and say, Father, I've died for them. I've shed my blood for them. They're covered in my blood. Hey, Father, they're not just sinful people. They're just not wicked people. But, Father, they're my children. They're my bride. They're part of the family. Hey, thank God we've got a Savior in heaven with nail-pierced hands that's holding them up in the face of the devil and say, oh, devil, they're mine. They're mine. They're mine. Not only did he ascend up out of the grave, but he ascended up into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for people like me who can't live a perfect life, who fall short a whole lot, who sins more than I want to. And all I can do is come to God and say, God, I've sinned against thee. I want you to forgive me. The Bible says if we ask God to forgive our sins, the Bible says if we ask the Lord to forgive our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I've got my head buried and said, God, I'm not what I should be. I've sinned against you and I want you to forgive me. I believe our Savior stands up, holds them nail-pierced hands up. I say, forgiven, forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, forgives us from all sins. Hey, you get forgiveness today. You get forgiveness today. Not only because he rose up out of the grave, but because he ascended up in heaven. Hey, these angels said, hey, you men of Galilee, I want you to remember a few things. That Christ was going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified for you. Remember that Christ was crucified for you. Next time we complain and gripe and bitter about what Christ asked of us, you remember what Christ has done for us. Remember what Christ has done for us. The other day I was working, put it in post for the new tabernacle, about 150, 200 pounds. We stopped and thought about it for a minute. I wonder how much weight that cross that Christ carried up Golgotha Hill to the place called the Skull or Calvary. I wonder how much that cross weighed. Could you imagine his back bleeding, his skin burst open, his bones displayed for the world to see, and they put a rugged cross upon him, a cross that has not been sanded, a cross that's not been finished, but just a cross that's rough, a cross that's hard, a cross that's heavy, and they placed it upon Christ, and they made him turn his own cross up to the top of the hill. Can you imagine that, my friend? Could you imagine him toting his cross to the top of the hill? Then he looks down upon us. He says, hey, all I want you to do is just bear your cross. He says, just bear your cross. He said, but I'm going to help you out because if you'll take your yoke upon you, he said, if you'll take my yoke upon you, he said, hey, when you bear your cross, you're not in it by yourself. I'm there with you. I'm there to help you. I'm there to hold you up when you can't walk no more. Amen. You remember, next time we complain, next time we don't think we have it as good as we should, you remember what Christ has done for us, how he was crucified, how he was buried, how he was risen from the grave. I want you to remember this. Not only was he crucified, not only did he rise from the grave, but I want you to remember this. He's coming back. Amen. Beloved, he's coming back. He's coming back for me and for you that are saved. That are saved. If you don't hear nothing else, I want you to hear this today. Christ was crucified for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. If you place your faith and trust in him for salvation, you can be saved today. And when Christ comes back, you can go up to heaven to be with him because you belong to Christ. Hey, my friend, don't miss out on the greatest thing you can ever get involved in, and that's to have a new life in Christ. I want you to know he was crucified. I want you to know he was risen. But I want you to know he's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's coming back, friend. Hey, we don't have to stay here forever. Hey, my friend, it might get bad. It might get a little worse. Hey, it might get a little bit hard. Hey, but thanks be to God. Hey, thanks be to God. We get to go to heaven one day and experience the glorious life that Christ has for us in a place called heaven. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. Brother Johnny says, I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, we don't have much. There's a little mobile home we call home. A little mobile house. A few 2x4s. A little bit of insulation. A little bit of metal. We call that our home. Well, that's really not my home. That's really not my home. Since I've been out of high school, we've moved probably 6-7 different houses. None of them's our home. But I do got a home. It's in a place called heaven. Do you have one? If you're lost today, I want you to know Christ died for you so you can be saved. If you'll put your faith and trust in him, ask him to forgive your sins, he will. He'll save you today and give you a home in heaven. I want you to stand with me, if you will. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, as the pianist comes to play, we'll pray right here in just a few minutes. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you this question. It's only 2 minutes after 12. We'll be out here in just a few minutes. Let me ask you this. You're standing to your feet. We have our eyes closed. We have our heads bowed. We're going to be as still and as quiet as we can. Let me ask you this question. If you don't know that you'll go to heaven when you die, I'm warning, would you do me a favor? Just slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not sure. I need you to pray for me. I'm not sure, preacher, if heaven's my home. Please pray for me. Will you just slip it up real quick so I can see it? Nobody else is looking around. God already knows, and you know. I see that hand. God bless you. There another. Preacher, you pray for me. I'm not sure. I don't know. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Preacher, I'm not sure. I see that hand in the back. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure. I want you to pray for me. I don't know when I leave this world if I go to heaven. I know Christ was crucified. I know he's buried. I know he is risen. But I don't know if he's my Savior. Preacher, please pray for me. I want you to pray with me. Father, help us now. So many people raised their hand that it was lost. And Father, that's the first step of salvation. It's the knowledge that they're lost, that they need a Savior. And Lord, today I pray, God, just speak to their hearts. God, I pray as the invitation begins, oh God, you give them the confidence and courage they need to come to this altar and receive Christ as their Savior. The greatest thing they can do on Easter Sunday is give their life to Christ, get forgiveness of sins, and receive everlasting life. I pray, God, as the very first music, the very first note begins on the piano, where they step out of the pew and come and receive Christ. I want to pray for them that you'll help them to do that. I pray, God, for those who couldn't raise their hand that they should have. God, give them the confidence and courage to come and receive Christ. I pray, Father, you'll help us now. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, as the piano starts playing, if you need to be saved, if you need to give your life to Christ, I want you to come. I want you to come on this Easter Sunday. Hey, April the 24th, 2011, won't you come to receive Christ? Won't you ask God to forgive your sins right now? Won't you come receive Christ as your Savior right now? Won't you come, beloved? Hey, don't let the world send you to hell. Don't let your pride send you to hell. Won't you just come and trust in Christ? He's already been crucified, remember that. He's arose from the grave, remember that. And remember, beloved, he's coming back. Whether you're ready or not, he's coming back. Right now, would you come? Right now, would you come? As the invitation's given, the Holy Spirit of God's dealing, why don't you come? Why don't you come and receive Christ right now? He died for your sins. He buried the cross of Calvary. He took your pain, your punishment, your torture, so you could be saved. How about you? Would you come and receive him? Would you come and receive him as your Savior? Beloved, you remember what Christ has done for you. These men said, remember. And the Bible says in verse 8, and they remembered his words. Would you remember today how he was crucified, how he risen from the grave, how he's coming again? One more verse just for you. Let me ask you this. Your head is still bowed, your eyes still closed. You're not going to come forward this morning and receive Christ as your Savior. But would you be willing to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I know I need to be saved. And I want you to come to my house and tell me about Jesus." If you're like that, would you be willing to lift your hand and say, "Preacher, would you come to my house and tell me about Jesus? I need to be saved." God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? "Preacher, you come to my house. I need to hear. I need to hear." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, thank you for moving in this church service this morning. Thank you that we can have time to remember how you was crucified and buried and risen again and how you're coming back. Lord, we thank you for who you are, that you're Christ, our Savior. Lord, thank you for the people that's here today. Pray, God, you'll bless them, give them a wonderful day today. Encourage them, speak to their hearts. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness.